Last year, some spectacular footage showed a successful interception and destruction of a missile aimed at the United States. It was a test, and the Missile Defense Agency showed what was possible. But the larger program is more of a mixed bag that includes some failed and canceled tests. Here with more, Christina Chaplin, Director of Contracting and National Security Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Ms. Chaplin, good to have you back.
Good to be here.
So you looked at the Missile Defense Agency in the context of the larger program to build some kind of a U.S. version of Iron Dome, I guess, or a missile shield. And what is the real status of that program after they had those couple of, and they published the footage of these interesting interceptions?
That test itself was very noteworthy for the agency. It was a test of an event that we're most likely to see from North Korea, and it was a success. But that interceptor itself does need to be tested under more strenuous conditions and situations, such as launching of more than one missile toward the United States. And at the same time, DoD also needs to continue to improve the design and producibility of that system. And then there was mixed progress on other aspects of missile defense. For example, Missile Defense Agency is jointly developing a new interceptor with Japan designed to intercept intermediate-range missiles. And the first intercept test was a successful event against a medium-range target, but the second two tests were not. And we're going to continue to look at why that was the case.
So, in other words, the counter-missile was launched and it simply missed?
Yes. In one event, it could have been an issue related to tactics and procedures. But the second event looks to be an issue related to the interceptor itself. And the Missile Defense Agency is still reviewing that. It takes some time to really figure out what happens in terms of a root cause. We also looked at other aspects of the Missile Defense Agency. One important area, for example, was computer modeling challenges. Because testing is so expensive and challenging to do, the Missile Defense Agency relies heavily on models to assess performance, but the models still need to be fully accredited to make sure they're realistic. And then we also looked at contracting. Particularly, we've seen a trend over the years in authorizing contractors to begin work before agreements on terms, specifications, and price have been agreed upon. And sometimes that may need to be happening when there's a great urgency, and the threats we see today from North Korea certainly do bring some urgency. But until contracts are defined, the government cannot effectively track costs and measure performance of contractors. So it's a trend that the Missile Defense Agency really needs to focus on.
So in other words, they're signing contracts for delivery of, I guess, goods, missiles, and services, all of the attendant capabilities, but without having terms and conditions nailed down?
Correct. And sometimes that condition can persist for a very long time, a year or more.
Well, how are they able to budget their activities in a situation like that?
They always have set budgets going toward programs, but they really aren't in a good position to control costs and predict cost growth. So future budgets will probably be stressed when you continually operate with contracts that haven't been definitized.
Yeah, I mean, is it possible to predict what it costs? Well, they must know what it costs to build the instruments themselves, the missiles, because...
Yeah, they have some rough estimate of cost going in, but you really don't have a very precise cost, and you can't set baselines with the contractors so that you can track their progress and kind of forecast cost growth.
Because there's a lot of military participation in the tests, so where they position ships to launch the missile that's being shot at, that's a whole other cost.
Yeah, that's a separate cost. The need to definitize contracts relates mostly to the development aspect. But in terms of cost for tests, that's another issue we've looked at in the past, and there's certainly areas where they can improve in terms of tracking cost for tests, because as you said, they're very expensive. They involve a lot of pieces, and we believe those costs can be tracked better, too.
We're speaking with Christina Chaplin, Director of Contracting and National Security Acquisitions at the Government Accountability Office. I can see where what seems like disparate responsibilities that you have come together here, particularly in this report when you talk about acquisition and also national security. But getting back to the issue of simulation is accurate. How do you do that without having a corresponding test to check out each simulation?
Right. So it all comes down to modeling and simulation. The test events that they do have feed those models, but then they use those models, they try to complete them with other information on performance and characteristics of systems and threat models to develop a model that can help you really assess performance accurately. But you really need a process to verify every piece of information that goes into those models and then to ultimately accredit the models so that you can be sure these models are accurate enough. If there's one little error, it can have pretty dramatic effects. So the condition of not accrediting models over time, there's been efforts to do so, but they have not gotten there, is an issue of concern, pretty great concern.
Yeah, because your report spends a lot of space on the percentage of accredited models used in the operational assessments and in the capability of delivery. And there were more accredited models used back in 2015 than there were last year.
Yes, there's been some ups and downs, and there's been changes in the way that the accreditors look at that process and what's going into it, and they've gotten more strenuous over time, and it's been difficult for Missile Defense Agency to produce the data needed to help support accreditation.
Well, I mean, overall, would you say this program is in control?
In terms of modeling and simulation, I think this is an area that needs a lot of attention and resources. They have been developing a better working relationship with the accrediting agency, and I think you'll see more progress in that area in the next few years.
Now, you've got a fairly long list of recommendations. What tops the list that you think the MDA should do?
Well, this year we have recommendations covering each area we look at. We do want them to focus on at least being more transparent about their contracts and what's definitized and when it will be definitized when they report to the Congress. We want them to be more transparent about their models and what is accredited, what's going to be accredited in reports to Congress and in reports to warfighters. And generally, we have some other recommendations for better communicating what's being delivered to warfighters in terms of performance for the systems for missile defense. But more importantly, we also continue to reemphasize many recommendations we've made in the past that relate to reducing overlap between key acquisition events, such as design, testing, and production. There's always been too much concurrency in those events within missile defense. And though there have been efforts to taper that down, it still persists.
Sounds like they're in a hurry.
They are in a hurry. They face a very urgent threat. So it's a choice you have to make between meeting that urgent need and following best practices that give you the discipline and knowledge you need to make the best decisions to move forward.
If they rush into production in large-scale volume of acquisitions of missiles that don't really work that well, then they really haven't gained anything.
Right. And in many cases, that's been exactly what's happened.
Christina Chaplin is Director of Contracting and National Security Acquisitions at the GAO. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll post a link to her report and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.